guys, welcome. So today we're in an amazing environment. We're here at Valley Hops in the Fortitude Valley. And we've got Jamie here from the US who's traveling with Mr. T Drinks Beer. I almost knocked him over then. And we're just going to talk about the difference, like stuff in, what's different in the US in brewing, what's the same in Australia, what's catching up, what's, you know, what you like, what you don't like about the US and here, and not political wise. No, it's ready. So, first off, what do you got to do with brewing in the US? What do you do?
I've been associated with a few breweries. The last brewery that I worked with was a place called Flying Dreams Brewing. It's in central Massachusetts, and we're a self-distributing small little brewery. Our owner and head brewer, Dave, makes some really amazing beers. Some of my favorite beers in the world are actually his recipes.
Wow, so, that's a bit cool.
Yeah, it is, which is why I ended up working with him, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I walked in, he had just opened, it was only about 2 weeks in, and I walked in and he had a black IPA. And this was many years ago when there just wasn't a thing.
Yep.
Yeah. And I was like, what is this beer? I love you.
Yeah.
And And then within 2 weeks, he's like, hey, we need some help. And before I know it, you know.
Yeah.
That's how that goes.
Yeah, nice. Black IPA. I love a black IPA. Local brewery here where I still work, and Joel still does, at Helios. They're famous for one of their black IPAs, Medusa. And it just got released. Today. By the time you guys see this, it's been out for a while. It's probably gone if I've drunk it all, because I absolutely love it. It's one of my favorite beers in the world. Love a good black IPA.
It's brilliant. Brilliant. I would, you know, if you're ever out in central Massachusetts, it's called Nightcrawler. Fantastic beer, and Dave will be so excited that I've actually said that.
We'll be sure to tag him, and I'm sure he'll get the tag.
He'll be excited.
Very nice. So what do you drink? You and I are drinking the same thing, actually. We're drinking the wet hop brown ale.
Yeah, it's really
from
nice.
Up here. You enjoying it? I'm really enjoying it.
I do, and I think a brown ale is a really underrated beer. When I go into a brewery and I see a brown ale on, I get really excited, and I actually give a lot more clout to the brewery.
Yep.
I see a lot of breweries today. You walk in, it's IPA, 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 IPA. Oh, look, a pale ale, essentially an IPA, the way they brewed it. And they may throw a Pilsner in there for the people that just don't like beer and their version.
Joel's drinking a Pilsner.
And I mean,
you're an idiot, Joel.
A Pilsner can be amazing, but usually when someone makes all IPAs in a Pilsner, you're putting that Pilsner down the drain if you try it anyway. So I walk in, I see a brown on there, I'm going to try the brown.
Yeah.
Because it's a really easy thing to mess up, but it's beautiful when it's done right.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is a wet hop brown ale. So this is using hops from Andrew's hop farm, from Hilltop Hops Farm.
Okay.
Which is where we interviewed a couple of weeks ago.
Nice.
A couple of weeks ago, it was a couple of months ago, because I still had my face smashed and hand in a cast, but
that's another story.
That's a whole other story. We don't need to go back there. But I definitely don't want to go back there. Don't ride scooters. I'm really enjoying this beer. It's great.
Yeah.
Michael and Phil from Hiker, who we interviewed last week, they're around there talking about all their tanks and stainless porn and whatever they're getting into over there. Yeah.
It's amazing. You show up. I've been in Australia for 24 hours. I walk into one brewery and all of a sudden I know.
Phil and I sitting
bunch
there.
Of breweries. Hey, yeah. Now we're friends.
Yep. And we were like, what are you doing? And you were chatting away, going, oh, yeah, this, that, and I want to drink that. And we were like, oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do you want to be on our podcast? And you're like, no. I'm like, oh, too bad.
Yeah. Hi. They're awkward.
So we got a little friend here. What's our little friend's name?
So this is Mr. T, named after the A-Team, of course. So Mr. T, the reason why he came about, to be honest with you, is I joke he's my therapy T-Rex. Just because I worked in downtown Boston, Massachusetts, and if you've ever been there, rush hour traffic just isn't a pretty thing. Working in downtown for 10 years took years off my life for sure. So anyway, he was my therapy T-Rex in my vehicle, and then my friends all decided he's kind of cool, cooler than I am, of course, and that he needed an Instagram, because he always went everywhere with me. He always drinks the beers. goes hiking, cool. does everything, all these fun things, and everyone's like, what's with your T-Rex? I was like, just don't touch them. Like, we'll be great. But when I used to work at the brewery, it would be great, because I'd make a little sign, and because obviously in the United States, tipping is the culture there. And I wait a little sign underneath them that say, I pity the fool that doesn't tip this woman. And so that kind of was the birth of Mr. T being in the brewing. And so now he's got an Instagram, which I don't run, lo and behold. One of my friends does, and I hang out with my T-Rex, take the pictures, drink the beer, do the fun stuff,
yep.
send off the pictures, and something happens behind the scenes.
Yeah, who cares
and
about that?
Yeah,
I'm the same. I get in front of the camera, drink the beers, Joel films it all, and I do all the fun stuff, and Joel just sits like a Muppet to this poor guy.
Well, I will say she does enjoy it, and if you do like dad jokes, then you will have a really
Joel,
good...
Joel, you need to meet this woman.
Yeah.
You guys would get along like a house
on
really
fire. She's really into puns and dad jokes and things like that, so...
We'll be tagging it, but it's Mr. T drinks beer, isn't it?
Correct,
yeah.
Mr. T drinks beer.
Yeah, it's great. I saw, I was scrolling through it. We talked about it the other day. I want you to explain, if you can, that beer, that green beer that we talked about, the one with Woodruff.
Oh, yeah. So that was an experience. So essentially, I'm that type of person that when I come to visit, every single person I visit goes, right, this is the top breweries in town. So where do you want to start? It's not a question of, do you want to go for a beer?
Yeah,
it's like, is it now?
Yeah,
are we going, like, do you need to put your bag down first? Like, what's the scenario? So anyway, I was just recently in Philadelphia visiting some friends, and there was one of the top breweries in the town. I'm blanking on the name now, of course. And I walk in there, and I said, hey, I want to try something really different. And so, yeah, it was a beer, and it's Woodruff's?
Woodruff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was green.
Yeah, it's
like
green.
Super green.
It was, anyway, I would suggest it for one. I wouldn't have a lot of them, but it gives it almost like a marshmallow content to it, a bit of a different taste.
Do you think it would work better in a different style a bit? Like a dark stout or some sort of thing? Like if it's got that marshmallowy?
Actually, yeah. That would actually be really nice, especially if it was in
You're
a
welcome.
Stout. Yeah, I would. Yeah, exactly. From what I understand, he likes to move things around in beers and try some cool stuff. So, yeah, that would probably be really good in a stout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. I don't even know if it's a thing in Australia or whether it's just an American.
I don't think it's American
thing.
At all.
Is it a plant?
I do believe it's a plant. I don't know, I'm very ignorant to it. You literally pick the beer I probably know the least amount on.
That's right, we can talk about the fiddle tips.
It is also the most interesting one because it screams of, we're at Christmas, but it's not Christmas.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
What's going on there? It was an excellent beer, glad I tried it, but quickly flipped to another style of beer. They're known for their lagers.
Sort of like Phil's and Hiker Brewing, the Hold the Pork.
Yeah, that was also an interesting experiment. I will say, extremely palatable, decent, especially for what it was.
Yeah.
And I really commend people for doing something different with beer like that.
That's great, isn't it? Yeah.
But the problem is for me, it's like, I can only have a little of that or one of those.
Because
I actually really just love the taste of beer.
Yeah.
So when you kind of mess around and move it around and make it something taste other than beer, I'm less likely to have two of them.
Nothing wrong with two.
Exactly.
Too much of anything is just about right.
You know, it depends on the day.
And another beer that I did want to talk about, and I'm not going to constantly just talk about beers in your Instagram, because it's only Mr. T and he doesn't answer me, but the Fiddle Tips?
Yeah, so fiddleheads. So fiddleheads are a fern, actually, in the United States, and you can eat them.
Yep.
So they grow wild, and a lot of people just say they're pretty, and they don't really pay attention to them. But this one particular brewery in Michigan, I tend to drop into any brewery, good or bad, I'll still show up and try it. But this was a brewery called Shorts Brewing in Michigan. They have a couple of places, and it was one of their more, like, experimental beers. So they took a bunch of fiddleheads, all hand-picked fiddleheads, and put it into a pilsner.
Yeah, right.
And I do believe it was like 9% alcohol as well.
Oh, wow.
So super unusual for a pilsner. Pilsner is usually really light, easy drinking. I will say this fiddlehead was really fantastic, still pretty easy drinking despite the 9% alcohol, and the really, really unique flavor to it. I only expected to have a sample of it and go, well, I'm glad I tried that. But I had a sample of it and I was like, and I'll take that pint.
Yeah.
So it was an excellent, excellent choice.
Yeah.
And I commend them once again. I like to see the experimental beers. I like to see something different.
9% pint though.
Well, you'd
know at the end, hey, you'd be like,
I am noticing a difference in Australia versus the United States when it comes to beer percentages.
Yep.
So
in that we're a lot more low?
Yeah, you're definitely a lot lower. Usually a 3.5% beer doesn't exist outside of like Utah.
Yeah.
So Utah has really, really strict laws about their percentage on draft beer. So you can't have anything higher than 5% on draft.
Yeah, okay.
You can...
Don't go to Utah.
Yeah. I mean, go to Utah. Yeah. Utah's really amazing.
Stay near the border.
No, there's a catch.
Okay, yeah,
all you need to do is go into the brewery and buy the cans, because the cans and the bottles can actually be higher alcohol content. It's just only draft beer.
What a cool way to make it takeaway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you can also usually go into a brewery and ask for, you know, a can pour, and they get around it, that loophole as well.
Yeah, cool.
So a lot of places... Utah is one of the rare ones, but most of the time you won't see 3.5% unless it's a Goza or something like that. That's meant to be a low alcohol beer.
We have very restrictive tax laws here in Australia, and our tax on beer has just increased because it's the 1st of August. It's just ticked over, so we get CPI index, which increases, and every 6 months that happens, and so all beer prices are going up.
And just what we needed, right, folks?
Yeah, we're the third highest taxed nation on beer in the world.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's why
is Singapore
a lot of beers
one?
Sit around.
Because I feel like Singapore
I actually don't know where it is, but that's why a lot of our beers sit around the 4.5%, 5%, and especially all the big macro.
So, this is
beers.
What we've learned today. Go to the United States if you like high alcohol percentage.
You can get
beers.
Them here. Yeah, because we've got a crazy Americans that brew.
Yeah. We have, your typical IPA now, if you go into a brewery, most of the IPAs are sitting around a 7%.
Yep.
Right? And that is just run of the mill these days. And so, it's a little problematic though, because a lot of places don't even list the percent alcohol.
Mm.
So, you go into a place, you order a pint, and all of a sudden you're like, wow.
That was big.
I'm going to have a rough morning.
Yeah.
And you didn't realize you were drinking an 11%.
I think you have to advertise the ABV here in Australia.
You should.
Yeah.
You should. And I would say a lot of places do, but a lot of places also don't. Especially if you go to a restaurant, they're really ignorant to the beer there.
Yep.
I hope this changes, but you can go into a place and it just lists, and you can ask the staff, what is this beer? What is the percent alcohol? And they'll shuffle behind the scenes to try and figure it out, which they're just on their phones.
Yep.
But if you're selling a product like that, especially with high percentage alcohol, you really should know. But as we also know, you have to be a really good brewer to make a really high percentage alcohol and still have it really nice to
100%.
Drink. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you're talking about pints.
Yeah.
What other size glasses are there? Like is it a pot? Like a half pint?
So that's the fun thing. We don't really have other sizes for the most part. When you typically go into a brewery, you're gonna get a typical pint, which is about 16 ounces, maybe 20 ounces. And otherwise you'll just get a sampling tray.
Yep.
So you'll get 5 ounce pours, you usually get 4 or 5 in a paddle of some form. They usually make them weird, unique shapes.
Yep.
And you can try different beers. Now I've seen that in different breweries here as well. But they don't have all the sizes that you do, which
no,
I think is
even
fantastic.
Here, they've got Schmitty's. Do you know what a Schmitty is?
No, I don't know what a Schmitty is.
So there's a pint.
Yeah.
And then under that, there's a schooner.
Yeah, no schooner.
And then there's a pot, which is in some states called a midi.
Yeah, okay.
So a Schmitty is in between the schooner and the midi.
Okay, so there's way too many options.
Yeah. And then you've got ponies. You get all the way.
It gets confusing. It's quite easy to be like, I'll have a pint, mate.
Most places nowadays, especially a lot of breweries, will carry pints for that reason. But a lot of pubs don't always have pints. A lot of them will just say it's either this or this. Because you've got to carry all these glasses, right?
I don't have that problem. Maybe you do, but
I just ask for the biggest possible. Normally it's a pint.
Well, you can also get... depends on where you are. Places like Las Vegas or other places with drinking problems. And you can get like these towers of alcohol that are just trouble on end. The problem I have with those is it just gets warm.
Yeah, and gets light struck. And
yeah, most beers don't taste fantastic as they get warmer. A good mark of a beer though, however, is if it does get to room temperature and you still want to drink it, then you got yourself a good beer.
Yeah.
If you're drinking a beer and as it gets warmer you want to just go and pitch it, that's really telling you that you don't like that beer.
We're going to go and have a few beers in another few places today.
Sure.
Have you got any on your list that you specifically want to go to?
So
struggle to get out the word specifically.
So words are hard.
It's still
hard.
My mouth is still there. That's going to blame my face.
I am a guest in your country in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So, obviously I can read what everybody else puts on the internet and says for reviews. But we were talking about this yesterday. It's really hard now because a lot of places also serve food. And so you're looking at a brewery, and if they serve food, 50% of those reviews or more is about the food and not the beer.
Yep.
I could give a monkey's about the food. I only care about the beer.
Yes.
And so I have to dig through those reviews, which takes time to figure out, do I want to show up here?
Yep.
Whereas where we met, I met you at Hikers.
Yes.
It's not about the food, it's all about the beer.
100%.
The reviews were 4.8. I looked at the tap list and said, I'm in. And I was definitely not disappointed.
Oh, that's good. I was disappointed I had to leave. What's the big difference between, like in beers, between Australia and the US? Because you were saying the other day, like, you don't want to have to drink an IPA because you're obviously used to walking into a breweries and they've just got, as you said, 5, 6, 7 different types of IPAs.
Yeah.
What do you specifically seek out non-IPAs to taste?
Yeah, hands down, yeah. Depends on the temperature, obviously. Like, you know, if it's winter or summer, you're gonna gravitate towards different beers. Depends on your palate, of course, as well. But these days, like if I walk into a brewery and they actually know how to make a sour and know how to pronounce it, that's always a good sign. And then on the other side of it is, a great porter or a stout. So obviously this is the opposite ends of the spectrum for temperature wise. You know, in the winter you tend to drink the stouts and the porters. And on a really warm day, you're gonna go for something like a Goza. That's really refreshing. So if I walk into a brewery, I'm gonna go, it's opposite ends of the spectrum really, but I'll be looking for those two sides. And if there's only a string of IPAs, they go, oh, aren't you cute? You'll learn how to brew soon. And I don't care, and I know that sounds really condescending, but at the same time,
but you're American, you can get away with that, I mean.
No, I'm not trying to be, I'm not trying to be, I won't say the word I'm thinking, but anyway. I'm not trying to be that type of person, but it's just one of those things like, you know, we were talking about the other day. If you're just moving around Mosaic and Citra hops and you're using the same hops all the time, you're just reversing the order and a little bit more of that, but you're always doing the same exact thing.
Yep.
To me, you brewed a beer.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you're actually a good brewer.
Yep.
So here, so far, my experience in Australia is I've walked in and I have not had to drink an IPA yet.
Yeah.
Which I'm really excited about. Yeah, that makes me happy. I've actually found it is also winter time here.
Yep.
So
there's a lot of dark beers.
There's a lot of dark beers, so that makes me happy. But you know, at the same time, I've seen the Gozas, I've seen the sours.
Yeah.
And I don't know how popular sours are here in Australia, but they are super starting to get popular in the States.
Yeah, they're pretty popular over here.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
So, in my experience with sours, is the sour should taste like a sour. And a lot of the ones that they're making now is they're making a Berliner and they're just chucking in some syrup that's raspberry or something along those lines that makes it tart and makes it taste like juice. Now, once again, I want my beer to taste like a beer.
Yep.
And I much prefer real fruit.
Yeah.
And then these syrups and things like that. And so what I'm seeing a lot in the States is that a lot of these breweries are like, oh, people like sours. I don't know how to make a sour. So I'm going to put a little lactose in there. I'm going to put a lot of fruit in there and go, I got a sour. And I show up, try it and go, I'll have your IPA at least.
Yeah. do they use like that fructose corn syrup in the fruit syrups, or is it?
No, so there's,
we get syrups over here. Well, they're not syrups, they're purees.
Yeah.
So it's pureed fruit and they're 100% fruit.
So there are, and there, I'm not going to say which, but there are some really large breweries in the United States that used to be really, really popular and independent. They're not so much anymore.
Yep.
They were bought over, and there are some syrups, and those syrups aren't purees either.
Yeah.
And they're additives, and one of the big ones is mango.
Yeah.
And so they'll put that in there, and if you've ever tried this syrup, you immediately, as a brewer, know, well, that's what that was.
Yeah, okay.
Won't have that again, you know? So there are things out there to make it easier. It's almost like, you know, this, they like to do it at home, so, you know, they're making it all easy and packaging for the home brewers.
Yeah.
And then the, you know, the people that actually own a brewery was like, well, I can use that too.
Yeah.
It's like, should you though?
Yeah. We know you're doing it in bulk, but.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, that's another thing that we have, and I don't know if that's going on in Australia. So we have a huge amount of breweries opening, especially in the past 5-10 years, which is sort of fantastic and sort of not.
Yep.
I'm all about the idea of drink local, unless it's bad people. Do not drink bad beer. Do not support local bad beer. We want good beer, and there's really good breweries out there, so support those.
Yeah.
And so a lot of places now, you get the guy down the street that's been homebrewing in his house for, I don't know, a couple of years, and his mates really like his beer, right? Especially because it's free.
Yeah.
You know, this is the best beer. Oh, and his ego gets really inflated. And then he's got a little bit of money, and so he invests, he opens up a brewery, but he has no idea how to brew at a scale like this. Mm. Absolutely none. And so you taste.
And then there's the running the business side as well.
Oh yeah, no, that's a whole different,
and
I don't want to get involved in that. But you can taste it. You can taste, if you understand brewing, you can walk in, you got a watery back end to a beer or something along those lines, or it tastes a little sour, or the phenol of it is, you know.
Diacetyl.
Yeah, you just really can taste that. And you're like, well, and I can almost, not always, but you can usually just say, he was a home brewer.
Yep.
And not that I'm against home brewers, but you need to take the time to go from home brewer to a master brewer, or someone who's of the level of a master brewer. That doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
And so in the United States, that's for me a problem. I come into a brewery and I go, okay, you can make a semi-decent beer, but I can tell you were a home brewer. I'll come back in 2 years.
Yep.
You know,
it's definitely what happens here.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of home brewers that are going through that process. There's a lot of different brewers that have come from home brewing and gone to TAFE to study brewing so that they can get a job in commercial side, because that's what you want to do. If that's what you want to do and you're passionate about it.
Yeah.
It does happen still, but it's because the brewers in Australia, the screaming out for people that have got some skills and qualifications, because there was no one there for a while, especially after COVID. There was just everyone had just folded off. And
I was actually surprised. I don't know what it was like in Australia, but the some breweries, of course, did shut down because of COVID, especially the smaller ones that were self-distributing and things like that. It was really hard for them to get past with all the restrictions. But I mean, the alcohol consumption during the COVID lockdowns was really high. I won't discuss my behavior. We'll just say it was also very high. But it was really interesting to see which breweries made it, which breweries didn't make it. And I don't know what happened here as well. Was it similar that a lot of breweries to go
up? Kind of similar, but it wasn't. A lot of breweries here, from memory, were actually more successful. A lot of them weren't canning already.
Okay.
A lot of them didn't have the ability to can.
Okay.
And you were still able to can. If you could can, you could sell takeaways from your brewery. So a lot of breweries, the mobile canners, Craft Punks, East Coast Canning, Sea Legs Canning, all of those sort of guys ramped up and went into all these little breweries, and other little breweries opened up their own canning line and bottles, whatever, to be able to service that market. And we were able to fill growlers, as well out of our tanks and stuff for takeaway.
So that's something that's changed because of COVID. We used to have a huge community for, you show up to the brewery and fill, you know, big glass containers that we refer to as growlers.
Yep.
I know that word means something very different in other countries. We'll move on. We're talking about the ones that you fill up with beer. So we used to have a lot of those, and there was some regulations on it. Sometimes it had to have their label, which is just, you know, way to get more money to sell more of those. But for the most part, during COVID, they didn't want to deal with the cleaning of that, and so they decided to get rid of growlers, and they never came back.
Wait,
so
right.
There's only a few breweries that I can think of, and, you know, I have probably a three-hour drinking radius from my house, don't judge. That I know most of those breweries, and I can only think of a couple that still have growlers.
Yeah, a lot of it stopped here for a good while because you couldn't obviously sanitize them properly.
Yeah.
You weren't bringing them in and putting them on your taps or whatever. But it hasn't disappeared. Like, you can still definitely get them. Most places will have them.
Yeah, they've definitely, in the States, they've moved to canning, which canning is great. I mean, canning is fantastic just because of the pollution issues and whatnot. You know, you can rock up to the beach with your four-pack of beer, which isn't glass, no one's getting injured.
Yeah.
You know, you can crunch it up and bring it home because you don't want to leave it on the beach.
Yeah.
You know, so these things are great.
Yeah.
So the canning really has kind of just taken over, and so a lot of breweries, they're just done. They want nothing to do it. And let's be honest, if you've ever worked at a brewery, filling a growler, okay, first of all, a lot of people don't know how to fill a growler properly, and second of all, it just takes time. And if you have a long queue of people, and you're the only one staff for whatever reason that day, and you're filling a growler, you know, it's just everyone gets aggravated.
Yeah.
You know, it just, it's not ideal. Some of the new systems have a fancy growler fill, but you could have money for that.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Not every brewery can afford something like that.
No, indeed. So how long have you got left in Australia? So like 8 days, 9 days, not long.
Yeah, I'm only really only here for about a week. So I was doing a little bit of a stopover. Yes, judge me if you like. I was in Bali for a little while and in Indonesia scuba diving. I'm here for a week, and then now I go to Fiji and scuba dive over there for a little while. I have a few passions in life. Beer is obviously one of them. Scuba diving is another one. So my summers focus either on hiking or scuba diving, and this is my scuba diving.
You're sorry to interrupt you there, but while you're in Australia, is there a favorite beer that you've had since you've been here this trip? Because this isn't your first trip, like you've been here.
Okay, so the last time I was here was some years ago, and I have to say, beer has gotten better. So, yes.
Excellent.
Yes. This is a delicate thing, I'm sure, but I still think New Zealand has better beer.
I got more access to easy hops.
I just spent 2.5 months in New Zealand and definitely drank some really remarkable beers over there.
Yep.
I have to come back into Australia and give it the same go. So I do actually have a full-time job, despite how much it doesn't seem.
It sounds like you just travel around the world.
So in about a year, I'll come back and I'll probably spend about 2.5 months here in Australia.
Yeah.
And then I can have that conversation with you of what's my favorite beer or whatever. But I will say I'll be out on the hiking trails.
And finding those as well.
Well, sometimes it's like you have this really great day on the trail and then you come in and you have your beer before you go home and you find a new brewery. And that might just be because it tastes so good because you had such a good day.
Yeah.
You know, so it's...
it's you can't pick a favorite beer, right? Because it's different on the weather, it's different on your mood of the day, it's different on what you're eating. So many different factors.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I got my favorite New Zealand at this point, but I need Australia. I need some time.
Yeah. And so I know you don't do social media, like this is as close as you really get to him.
I mean, he does have an Instagram.
So, and you don't use Untappd.
No.
So what is your Instagram for Mr. T just your record of the beers that you have?
Yeah, well,
and that's your memory. You can go back and look and go,
it's not even my memory because I don't even look at it.
Yeah, okay.
It is. Yeah. It's not even for me.
So you're just logging them in there mentally and
going. Yeah, no, it's just, I have a friend at home that says if I joined Untappd, I would break it. I don't know if that sounds like a huge exaggeration.
Yeah, you need a shirt that says Ununtapped.
Yeah.
It's mine, I'm stealing
it. Yeah, exactly. I would wear that. Yeah. I mean, in all honesty, to be fair, you know, so what if I have a beer twice?
Yeah.
And here's another thing that it bothers me in the beer community. There are some people who love beer that are really into names, just like anything else, your clothing, your car, whatever. They're really into the names. So say they go online and they say, oh, I really heard about this particular brewery, and they go, it's the best.
Yep.
So immediately when they go to that brewery, they have this preconceived notion that this is the best beer. Now, I never have that. I'm not on Untappd, and I don't trust everybody's opinion on beer because
everyone's different.
Everyone is different. One and two, not everyone has a good palate, let's be honest. And so, you know, I'll go in and I literally will find this little, I'll be driving down the road. So recently I'm also in South Africa and I'm driving down this road and I just see this little like beer mug with the weird beer and an arrow. And
you can happen what happened
with my car. So I literally just come down this like this dirt road, which also makes me very happy to be on a dirt road. And I come in and I find this beautiful brewery. And I walk in, never had heard of it, couldn't find it on the internet, whatever have you. And I walk in and they have a Flemish Red.
Oh, really? Holy shit.
On draft. Yeah. And I said, hello, I live here now. And because of COVID, they left it in the tanks fermenting for a little bit longer.
Perfect.
And I was just like, this just got even more perfect. Yeah. And the man that was serving looks at me and goes, ma'am, do you know what a Flemish Red is? Which, thank you for that. Okay, yes, sir, please. Can I have the Flemish Red? So he pours it, gives it to me, and he looks at me, waiting for me to make some face.
Yeah,
and
what the fuck is this?
And I'm so happy with my little treasure in this brewery that no one's heard of, on a dirt road that just had a glass that said beer, like a sign of beer. And then all of a sudden, all these other people from the brewery who worked there came down and was like, who's the woman that ordered the Flemish Red? You know about beer. Where are you from?
That's great.
Yeah, no, yeah. It was, and to me, that for me was the best brewery that I had had in South Africa.
Yeah,
and
cool.
I've been there, you know, I was there about a month.
Yeah. One of my mates, Hendo, he's we had him on the podcast. He's traveling to South Africa. In a couple of weeks, actually, they got a brewing conference over there, and he's going over there for that. And Hendo, if you see a dirty glass on a on some sort of track,
hey, get my contact information. I like your
and get a tasty Flemish Red, mate.
Some years ago, my first trip to Cape Town. This is also how beer brings everyone together, right? So I walk into a brewery. It's noontime. Don't judge me. And I walked in and I sit down, and there's only about six guys, definitely older than I am, all hanging out. And then they hear me and they go, what's this American lass doing here, right? And I was there to run this thing called Comrades. And if you know what that is, that's all another story. And they were pretty impressed by that. So they were just, we get to talking. Fast forward maybe 6 years now, I go back and run this race regularly. And I go to Cape Town just to see them, and we go on what we call beer safaris. And a beer safari is kind of like a wine tour where you go from one place to the next, trying different wines. But no, we just pick a region and we just hit up all the breweries make bad decisions, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
So, if your mate's going to South Africa, I got you covered.
Yeah, that'd be excellent. I don't really have a lot more stuff that I really want to yank out of you. See, that's a US track. So you, Joel.
I'm from New England, so yeah.
But is there anything you want to wish on the beer public in Australia? Is there anything that you think we should learn or know? Or
you're doing a great job on the beers. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited to see that you have a different list of beers. It's not all IPAs.
Yep.
It's nice to see the sours. It's also nice to hear that people know how to pronounce Goza here.
Yeah, you're welcome. it's a never-ending battle.
It is a never-ending battle, yes. So far, so good. You know, as long as you're brewing good beer, I'm going to show up.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great sentiment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should be on a shirt. That's what we need on a shirt.
Here's and another thing I've heard recently that I also really love. Out of beer, out of here.
I love that.
There you go.
I do make shirts. Maybe I need to.
Yeah. Out of beer, out of here is definitely a good one.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I like that one. That's sweet. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming to Australia. Thanks so much for coming in to Hiker randomly when I was sitting there having a beer talking to Phil.
Hey, the pleasure was all mine.
Yeah,
I'm having more beers.
Look, I got to be honest, we did think you were a little bit weird when you just started pulling out your dinosaur and sat him on the bar. We were like, who's this weird US chick?
I like to say, you got to put your freak card right here, right? You know, if people, it's really polarizing, actually. People look at him and go, huh, what's up with that? And there's other people going, this lady is weird, and they go that way. And that is perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
Because to be honest, I can be social, and I'm also really good at being antisocial. So yeah. If you want to go that way.
People think I'm weird anyway, so that's all right.
Yeah, weird's good.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever fits the yeah. It fits the mold. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no worries.
Well, cheers. You need a cheers, Joel?
Cheers. Cheers, man.